a poll of teenagers commissioned by NBC News and People Magazine. Right, this is no, these are definitely not religious organizations. Has revealed that teenagers with a Catholic parent, not even two, I guess one. That's potent stuff, that Catholic parent stuff. 72% of them are more likely to remain chaste because they are worried what their parents will think than those with Protestant at 63% or another religious background at 57%. Depending upon the sample size, those differences are significant. 72% of kids more likely to remain chaste, kids of a Catholic parent, because they worried what their parents will think, than those with non-Catholic, Protestant, 63%, or another religious background, 57%. I would like to see what the non-religious at all kids would say. I got to believe it's down in the 40s or 30s. All right, just a little tidbit of good news. Email. This is from Ruth. Dr. Ray, my name is Ruth. I am the mother of six children, ages 16 to 28. I would like to give you a suggestion. I always get nervous when I see that first line. I would like to give you a suggestion. But then she got very sweet. Concerning a strategy that has given me a bit of success in dealing with bad behavior. I notice that you have never suggested having children follow their parent around the house as a consequence for their behavior. Well, you're right, Ruth, I haven't. One reason for that is I never thought of it. Another reason for it is I don't know how many parents would want that, but let's go on. In this form of punishment, and that it might truly be considered by the kid, the child must be with the parent all day long. Oh, Dan likes this. Already, he's already giggling hideously over here. Doing chores, reading books to any other children, generally being with the parent, excepting times when they are doing their own chores or homework. Holding hands or other forms of physical closeness are also required. Dr. Ray, this assumes that the misbehavior is often caused by a need for more attention. Ruth, I'm going to divert right there with you. Most misbehavior is not caused by a need for attention. It's caused by impulse. It's caused by power. It's caused by want of control. It's caused by emotions. This whole notion that kids misbehave for attention is really not held up in scrutiny at all. However, I think your technique works not because you have given the child a day's worth of attention, which they were sorely lacking. I think it works because of what you've done to the child. Now, you have to be careful, because if you would take a technique like this and do it in public, the child has to be seen with the parent in public. The child has to be seen holding hands with the parent in public. I'm afraid somebody might just call children's services on you. You can't expect a kid to go through that kind of penalty. Dr. Ray, I have found that this works when spanking or similar punishments are no longer appropriate, particularly for teenagers. This gives them a chance to walk in the parents' shoes while getting the attention and the intimacy they may need. Well, Ruth, I like the part about hanging around you all day long. I like the part where they get to see exactly what their mother and or father has to do all day long. Gives them a little bird's eye view of your day. I like that. I like the part where the kid's with you all day long, so he may even actually talk to you because you got nobody else to talk to. I like that part. I like the part where they do what you do. That's a form of labor, which I think is tremendous. So even though I think your motive, your curative factor in this, which is they need more attention, therefore I'm going to give it to them all day long, is probably not the main cure. I think your success is assumed because the idea is brilliant. It's brilliant. Now, there is a counterpart to this that occurs to me. What if you followed the kid around all day long? What if you did what the kid did all day long? You know, they've done something similar with preschoolers. Actually, they had, did you hear about this, Dan? A pro athlete, guy in phenomenal shape, just runner, you know, great wind, had to follow a two-year-old around and had to do what the two-year-old did. If the two-year-old ran, the guy had to run. If the two-year-old, you know how they bend down and you can't believe they're bending and their bottom is within an inch of the ground and they'll stay like that for 17 minutes, then they'll jump right up and then run. The guy couldn't do it. He couldn't make it. He could not follow the two-year-old around mimicking the two-year-old activities. He ran out of energy. Oh, heck, if our heart rate was 115 like theirs is, we could do it too. So, if you want to punish your kids, my advice, have them do what you do. Don't try to do what they do. Besides, you follow a teenager around, say they go to a dance or something, you look real bad. You're just bad. Okay? What else I got here? All right. This was sent to me by Emily. Emily always sends me things. She's a loyal listener. It says up here at the top, voted woman's favorite email of the year. I don't know who voted. I could see how women would vote this their favorite email of the year. A man was sick and tired. Reminds me of my mother. I am sick and tired of going to work every day while his wife stayed home. He wanted her to see exactly what he went through, so he prayed, "Dear Lord, I go to work every day. I put in 8 hours while my wife merely stays at home. I want her to know what I go through, so please allow her body to switch with mine for a day. Amen." God, in his infinite wisdom, granted the man's wish. The next morning, sure enough, the man awoke as a woman. He arose, cooked breakfast for his mate, awakened the kids, set out their school clothes, fed them breakfast, packed their lunches, drove them to school, came home, picked up the dry cleaning, took it to the cleaners, stopped at the bank to make a deposit, went grocery shopping, then drove home to put away the groceries, paid the bills, balanced the checkbook, cleaned the cat's litter box, bathed the dog. By this time, it was already 1 p.m., so he hurried to make the beds, do the laundry, vacuum dust, and sweep, and mop the kitchen floor. Ran to the school to pick up the kids, got into an argument with them on the way home. Set out milk and cookies, got the kids organized to do their homework, set up the ironing board, watched TV while doing the ironing at 4:30. He began to peel potatoes, washing vegetables for salad, bread at the pork chop, snapped fresh beans for supper. After supper, he cleaned the kitchen, ran the dishwasher, folded laundry, bathed the kids, put them to bed. At 9 p.m., he was exhausted, and though his daily chores weren't finished, he went to bed where he was expected to be romantic, which he managed to get through without complaint. The next morning, he awoke and immediately knelt by the bed and said, "Lord, I don't know what I was thinking. I was so wrong to envy my wife's being able to stay at home all day. Please, oh, please, oh, please, let us trade back." The Lord, in his infinite wisdom, replied, "My son, I feel you have learned your lesson, and I will be happy to change things back to the way they were. You will have to wait 9 months, though. You are now with child." Voted women's favorite email of the year. I don't know why. Ha! All right. Let me see. And this was what I was calling it. Wanted to comment. Oh, baby. All right. All right. Let's see. Off-air comment. Dr. Barbara from Lombard, Illinois. A woman, I believe her name was Lillian, on a previous show called and made the observation, "Should I quit my medication? My medication is keeping me alive." Lillian said, "I've raised my children. I've lived my life. It's time for me to go home." And she was saying, maybe if I stop taking my medication, that's it. I'll just slowly fade away. We talked and hopefully convinced Lillian not to do this. Suggestion was, contemplate this from Mother Teresa's Rosary. give your loneliness to the Lord in reparation for his loneliness when he was on earth and in the Blessed Sacrament around the world. It helped Dr. Barbara immensely in her loneliness. Yeah, she united her suffering with God's suffering. Made it redemptive, made it helpful, made it a gift. And lest anyone listening think that's not scriptural, I believe it's Colossians, I think, where Paul says, I fill up with my own sufferings what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. He's not saying the Lord's sacrifice wasn't of infinite merit and value. What he is saying is, I am joining my sufferings to his. So if you got a theological argument, take it up with Paul.